Hey, Oasis, we're back.
What up? We're back.
Yeah, something like that. And
I feel like I should have had a third back. We're back.
Yeah, two is weird.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Why do we like threes?
That's a great question.
It's a holy number.
It's a whole number.
It just sounds different when you only, if you don't do like, if you got to put an, if you're going to do two, you got to put an and. We're back and back. And then you're good.
I think that's just as bad.
Back.
Yeah, yep. Those two are the worst options.
Makes me think of, what's the goldfish? The snack that smiles back, goldfish. You guys know that one?
No.
No?
I don't know that.
Oh.
My kids eat goldfish all the time. I do not know that.
It was kind of the old jingle back when they had those really good goldfish commercials where there was like the goldfish were living under the bed, which when you think about it, it's kind of disgusting. But they had like their own utopia down there. You guys remember these?
Yeah.
They were good commercials, man. They like had this own little sea world. All right, Emily, keep going.
Well, kind of a segue here. We're on part two of a conversation we started last week of just looking at what it looks like to enter different life stages well. And so last week we talked about singleness and dating. And this week we're talking about what it means to be engaged and married.
There you go.
Dang.
And so we brought in Emily.
I'm the expert.
I mean, I've only done it one more time than you.
That's a good point.
I've done it no time.
Yeah, but I've only done it one more time.
That's great. And we honestly planned this to be two parts, even though mm-hmm. the last one went super long.
And I just want to say you're welcome.
Yeah, we hope it was helpful, I guess. But yeah, we planned it to be two parts, and now we're here, part two. Here. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, so we're going to start with engagement. Mm-hmm. And what actually is the purpose of engagement?
I don't know if we'll differ, but I think you have an opinion here.
I don't know if I'll go into that opinion. It's not.
I think it's okay.
Enough. Okay.
No, yeah. It's okay to not have it like polished, yeah. But engagement typically is viewed as this preparation process mm-hmm. for marriage. Yeah. And so like, as we talk about dating would be this evaluative process. Do the two of you fit together? Are you compatible then to get married? You get engaged and then you go through the process of, for most people, planning a wedding, but hopefully for our listeners, it's not just planning a wedding. Yeah. It's starting to put your lives together and see like, how do we, it's starting to prepare yourselves to be married.
Yes. I would agree with that. 100%. Yeah. That's what engagement is.
Okay.
I think where we've missed is it's what we've just put emphasis and focus on what the preparation is supposed to be for. Okay. And so we've used, I mean, you could argue some couples, I would even argue for ours, if I were to throw a percentage in it, it's like it was 30% preparation for being in covenant together and 70% preparation for the day.
Yeah.
And so I think we've moved in a direction that isn't helpful mm-hmm. or fully healthy. Like, you have to prepare both, but what would it look like to move us towards actually preparing for marriage?
Yeah.
And so it's, and one, we differ so much in biblical times anyway. Like, if you were engaged, if you were a Jewish person in the times of Jesus and you got engaged, that was already, you were in covenant. Mm-hmm. To get separated during engagement would have been equal to a divorce. Mm-hmm. Even though there had not been consummation yet, it would have been a divorce.
Yeah.
And what preparation for them meant was the husband or whoever the groom was going to be would go to the father of the bride and basically ask for the hand in marriage. They would make even a covenant in that moment mm-hmm. that they would be engaged and in relationship. The husband would leave, go back to his house. And his preparation was, I'm preparing for this person that I'm going to have a wedding day with to be a part of my family. Mm-hmm. And so even in there, it's like there was this process of preparing of what does it look like for us to be a family? And some of that is, yes, helpful, healthy relationship. We are preparing in communication. You're preparing in how do you do conflict, all that stuff. I just think we've so lost, or not, I don't know if lost is the right word. I think we just so lean towards preparing for the day. Like using more of our resources, time, money even, towards that versus the actual relationship
and
what it's supposed to be.
And we'll dive into what then does that look like to prepare for. But part of it is, I think, understanding that engagement is a different season than dating that takes more intentionality. Because mm-hmm. I think that's where people get confused too, is they dated and they got to know each other and they would say, even if we were evaluating, we were preparing for marriage. Yeah. But then you put a ring on it and it's like, okay, the biggest shift is we now have this huge party that we're going to throw for all of our friends and family, which we're not underselling that, right? Like if you do a modern day wedding, mm-hmm. it's going to take you a significant time and energy to plan that. I mean, if just realistically, like depending on how many people you invite, food, like there's lots of details that go into planning a party of that size for most people. But even still, like the difference between dating and engagement is there should be a level of intentionality that shifts. Where, okay, yeah, in dating you were asking questions and you were evaluating, but in engagement, if you are linking your life together, you need to be really intentional with what questions are we asking, mm-hmm. what information are we consuming, what decisions are we making, what's the plan, like all those kind of things. Like it doesn't look the exact same as dating. It feels similar, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not yet marriage, but there is a difference there.
Yeah, that's good.
What are the important conversations you should be having in this season?
Mm-hmm. So many.
I mean... It's, yeah.
But part of it is, I think, where you have those conversations and how you get into those conversations.
Okay, elaborate.
Because, like, to me, I don't think there's a checklist of the 100 questions you need to ask before you get married.
They're out there.
They're out there, for sure. But part of it is, are you putting yourself in spaces to have dialogue around what it looks like to become married, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's your premarital process at the church that you go to, or if it's here at Grace Point, going to the seminar, if it's conversations with the pastor as they lead you through additional material, if that's something you're helpful with, are you maybe navigating through a sermon series or a seminar series that a church has put on like Grace Point or different that you guys can start to dialogue around, like, what is the biblical idea of marriage? Not only that, but what does it look like to have marriage on mission? What does it look like to be married in like as we serve Jesus, to even just, are there books that you should be reading? And there's a huge list of books, but mm-hmm. that's a space, right? That's starting to be intentional. Where are you reading things that will help form your mind around what it means to be married? And then not only just reading, but then dialoguing around. That's kind of like what I mean.
I think in dating, if we talk about evaluation, it's like, I need to know how to communicate to this person. In engagement, in preparation, it's, I am learning your communication style. I am learning how, like, the specifics continue to be intentional with knowing who you are and knowing how I need to speak into, again, whether it's issues, communication, conflict, all those types of things. It gets more specific because you're saying you're committing to a commitment in engagement. So you can get more specific with what you're trying to do. Where in dating, it's just, I need to know how to have healthy communication, but I don't need to dive into the specifics of solely focusing just on this one person. Yeah. Where engagement's like, you have to be way more intentional.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
For engagement. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we can go through specific themes. Like, you want to talk about finances.
Yeah.
How do you spend money? Like, there's just all these things. So we have a premarital course that we have here.
Yeah.
And we've continued to try to, I think, revamp or, like, continue to look at and evaluate our process and mm-hmm. how we do this. But it's, we have content we go through. Which is fine, but a lot of it is so much just helping, at least for me in the way I do it with couples, is how do I help them understand each other, them understand themselves, and then get into the content, the themes that you'd want to press into an engagement.
And just to continue to round out that question of like themes, you said finances, you want to say like context, so friends and family, church life, like those are things you got to talk about. Like
household roles.
What's going to look like? What's it going to look like for us to like blend our families together? Yes. Right? That's a conversation you needed to have. You got to talk about love. You got to talk about sex. You got to talk about conflict. Communication's a huge one. Personality is one that we often spend some time going through. You got to talk about past history and sometimes trauma or just like experiences or just things that have formed you, even if they're not like the happy stuff, right? Your partner needs to know about some of that and be able to, right, not fix you there, but be informed that this is part of your story and it's part of what you carry, stuff like that.
And then even, I mean, it's in-laws.
Yeah.
The conversation around like, what are your, because you know, and I'm assuming you've dated and now you're engaged, like maybe you spent time mm-hmm. with the other family and then you get into the depths of like, oh, here's actually how we spent Sunday.
Yeah.
How that's way different than, so expectations mm-hmm. of coming into as much as you can until you, it's real lived really is where you have a lot of the conversations when you actually get into marriage, but it's to have some of those conversations up front. So not everything is all of a sudden smacked in your face.
Yeah. One of my favorite is when it comes to expectations, I have couples fill out, it's like a chore list essentially. Yeah. And I know you do it too. It's so funny. But like you say, who's going to dust and who's going to take out the garbage and who's going to mow the lawn?
Who's going to fill the gas?
Yeah.
Who's going to make car appointments?
So, there's so many questions on this list. Yep. And some of them you're like, I don't even know if I understand what that means. But there is the fun element of trying to make those decisions. But then what's really formative in that is you see expectations and then you learn how to communicate different expectations.
Yes.
Right? Because it's not that big of a deal of who does the dishes.
The goal isn't to figure out who's going to do what.
No, eventually you're both going to do the dishes. That's part of life.
In a healthy
But when chance. You expect your partner to do the dishes and they expect, how do you navigate yes. that? Because yep. that will come up over and over mm-hmm. and over and over again. Yep. I thought you were making dinner.
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to make the bed. Well, I thought you were supposed to schedule yes. the appointment. I thought, and then when those moments happen, hopefully we've given you a framework to yes. sit back and say, okay, yep, we're different here, but we need to get on the same yes. page.
Yeah. And that's what's awesome. Like, I thought you were going to do finances because when I grew up, my dad did finances.
Yeah.
So it's just even there. It's all again. All of a sudden,
nobody's paid the rent yes. bill, right?
So it's not and our water exactly off. Doing what? It's getting them into a spot to be able to have communication when expectations are different. Mm. And again, in especially again, a lot of relationally, it's like that can happen in engagement.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the next question Emily has on here. How do you know if you're ready to be married? Do you feel like that? I think cinco años, 5 years into marriage, I feel like I'm pretty ready. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but I think it's a good question. What do you think that, why do you feel like that question fits into the engagement rather than maybe earlier in the conversation?
Yeah, I think the second question too, like, is it okay to be freaked out a bit by marriage if like I've just been engaged? But I think that like we really stress how marriage is a covenant. And like, we believe like we want that to last for your entire life, like till death does you part. And I think, how do you know years down the road, like you don't know what's going to happen. So how do you know you're ready to make a lifelong commitment to someone? Cause that's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I don't know.
Oh, you're asking.
I'm asking you guys.
Oh man. I think honestly, the biggest word I can add here is just calling. Like when we look at marriage, you have to see it as a calling. Has God called you, asked you, led you to do this? Because if it's up to you, it'll fail by you. But if it's on God and he's led it, right, then you follow in his example and lead by his spirit and what it looks like to link your lives together. And that doesn't mean it's easy, right? There will be hard stuff and there will be things you'll have to learn and walk through, and you're going to change and they'll change too. But if you've linked your life together because this is what God has called you to and he's led you in this way, then I think you know. But what that feels like for everybody probably looks a little bit different.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. I think there is aspects of feeling that go into it way more than just knowing intellectually. For me, at least, like, it's how do I know if I'm ready to be married? Well, my in-laws had a different expectation of what it meant to be ready for married than what I had.
Yeah.
And we had to have a conversation through, like, there were things that they would have desired to have seen in my life and in our life before me and Abby said, yeah, or, like, got married. And for me and Abby, those weren't the same priorities. Was there wisdom in what they were saying? Absolutely. But they weren't priorities. So like, it was a lot around like financial health and financial, even just like security, but also like time of graduating college. So like there are certain things like, yeah. So for us, there's aspects of, I know what I'm getting into as much as I can know what I'm getting into. Mm. So it's, do I at least have a simple comprehensive understanding of like what actually does marriage mean?
Yeah.
What am I actually saying when I say that I want to get married to you? I think when I had an understanding that I was ready to make that commitment, at least in myself, and found someone who I felt like, yeah, I think I can do this with this person, that's why I knew. But even then, it's like, I don't know if I fully know I was ready.
Well, and I don't know if any, very few people are actually ready. Really, the question is, are you ready to do conflict well?
Yeah.
Are you ready to forgive easily? Are you ready to have a mature relationship? Are you ready to commit to one person?
Yeah.
So that these are the
that can even happen before you date.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's where I think I would say some people ask this question in dating, because in our culture, one of the things that Ben and I have talked about is like the engagement feels like this cross moment. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor finale just happened a couple days ago, right? And they put so much pressure and like there's this engagement, and then you watch this couple be engaged for like a century, right? This is what happens with reality TV, is like they get engaged and then more than half of them don't make it. But like, that's their marriage moment for most people. It's like, this is the happiest day of my life when you and I are putting our lives together. But like, that's not what engagement is. That's the marriage day.
Yeah.
But so people ask that question, am I ready to be married? But they're really talking about, am I ready to be engaged? And that's where it comes in. The conversation we've had is like, engagement is still somewhat of an evaluative process.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, as you're going through it, if you find there, man, I'm really freaked out and I don't think I'm ready for this and I don't think I can do conflict and I'm financially not solvent enough and I'm not mature enough, that's where like our culture has to be okay with taking that step back And really, there's such a taboo and
like, that's what's hard is people think they can't do it because we've already had the expectation. I've said yes to being engaged to you, therefore we have to get married.
Yes. Yeah. The yes in engagement is the yes. I do yeah. for and most people.
Not the way we, yeah.
That's what most people think. Like when I've said yes, now we are, and right, like you can still live in separate houses and not share bank accounts, but you've already started to like intertwine your lives to where you can't imagine them separating again.
Yeah.
And there's part of that that's okay, right? Because that's a part of preparing for marriage. For sure. But if you start to find yourself leaning in a direction that's not preparing you for marriage, then you have to ask a hard question again.
That's good.
What boundaries should you have in a relationship once you're engaged?
More aggressive ones. For us, it was at least, especially when it came to physically and sexually, we had to have more aggressive boundaries, more accountability. I think that spiritually for us, we loosened our boundaries that we had. Like there was something about me, I think just being kind of a new Christian, called to ministry, like there were aspects of dating that I wasn't ready to dive into with anyone I was dating spiritually. So like I, at least in that moment, had the conviction, I don't want to do a devotional with the person I'm dating because I'm not evaluating if we're spiritually compatible. I can already see aspects of that. For me, it's like an engagement is where we started to like, I kind of opened up those boundaries because there's a reality of like, at least for me, I felt it. When me and Abby started reading scripture together, we started to pray more together, more intentionally about things. Like you just get more emotionally invested. And therefore, once you get more emotionally, not even invested, but just involved and connected physically and sexually, it wants to catch up.
Something about reading the Bible, man. It's just hot.
Super hot.
it is. I'm never reading God's word again.
Next podcast, God's word. But there was something about like, for me, I had, so some loosened, some needed to get more aggressive. For me, it was like spiritually, they kind of opened up. Okay. We can be more aggressive about praying more together. A more specific detail type stuff. Okay. We start reading scripture together. There were things like, what are you learning? That was already happening. But there's like, okay, how do we kind of run this race together and what fits for us even in this? There were more, physically, sexually, there had to be like just even more aggressive boundaries and more accountability because it was the temptation of like, well, we're going to be married anyway.
Yeah.
It just gets thrown into your head. So there was a season of, I don't even know how long it was, where we weren't in the same town, which was for me very helpful. Like it just, because it made it easier to not have to even have that temptation.
Yeah.
So I think, not black and white, super gray, opened up.
One I'd add to that is when we talk about relational boundaries, and we hit it pretty good in the dating podcast, that you need to still have friends.
Always, yeah. You can't isolate.
But engagement, right, when you start to have all these intentional conversations and you start to begin the process of looking at what it would look like to merge your lives, and then you have this thing you're planning for that consumes a lot of your time, and engagement is often a season people are very busy. One of the things that quickly can get squeezed out of that is just community. And so you stop going to groups. You stop showing up to church, you stop hanging out with those friends, you don't see your guys, you don't see your girls, right? And it's just like, man, you got engaged, you dropped off the face of the earth. I've seen this happen a million times.
Yeah.
But those are the moments where when you're having hard conversations, you need those people to come check you.
Yep.
You need them to ask you the questions too. And if you skirt community in engagement, that is a terrible preparing for your marriage. Because in marriage, man, you also desperately, desperately, desperately need community.
Yeah.
And you need guys, you need girls, you need small group, you need church. And so don't let engagement be a period of time where you're like, man, I'm just so busy. Sorry, I haven't seen you guys in 6 months. It's like, make sure we have boundaries around what it looks like to spend relational time with other people too. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, well, I think we covered engagement pretty well. I think we're going to move over to marriage.
And we're going to do that in less than 20 minutes.
Listen.
But we're just going to start off again. Like over each season of life, we just ask the question, like, what is the purpose? And so what is the purpose of marriage?
It's great. It's a great
I think
question.
It's a harder one to answer.
It for sure is.
Right?
I think the my gut instinct is there's something communal about it. Right? Okay. Not gut. I mean, this is my biblically informed gut instinct, but like there's something communal about it when you see Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Mm-hmm. That is not the only form of community.
100%.
But marriage is a form of community. Yep. When the man and wife become one, there is something beautiful in that they won't be alone. But also there is the be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And so God gave Adam Eve to have a partner so that they could live out his command of cultivating the earth. And so part of marriage is, right, being fruitful and multiplying. That's part of its purpose. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can keep going too.
I mean, well, that's what's hard. Like, I can answer this really well if the question was, what's the biblical, what does the Bible say about marriage? And in that, it's like, it's not a lot about, like, there's a Christian biblical perspective of marriage. And then, okay, what's the purpose of marriage? So there's a reality of reproduction that has to be there, fruit, be fruitful, multiply. There's a reality of within marriage, it's not just about your happiness, but also your holiness. Tim Keller defines marriage as, I have it written down. I used to have it defined. Memorized? No, I don't. Marriage is two spiritual people coming together to help each other become the people God created them to be. Can that happen outside of marriage? Yes. So that's why I wouldn't say that's just like the only like that doesn't just happen in marriage, but that's a part of what happens in marriage. So that's insanely beneficial.
And what you mean is it's just like sanctifying.
It's saying you're becoming who God created you to be. Yeah. It's you're becoming more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And your spouse helps you in that and should. And if that's not happening in marriage, there's a problem.
Yeah. Was that the end of your thought? I kind of jumped in there.
From that part of it, and then we can go to the actual, like, you want to talk Genesis 2, like the institution God created, like God created marriage, mm-hmm. which is really beautiful. So this is where I don't know if this is full purpose or just what it is.
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Okay. Let it be whatever you want it to be.
I'm going
to
go into it. So you mentioned it, relational context.
Yeah.
So there's relationship, community. There's reproduction, which is really beautiful. You're in a continual stage of unity, and it's a place of being able to be known, and knowing someone else deeply, like where there's this aspect of becoming one, like in the garden, naked and unashamed. It's not just physically the reality, like, man, this is a relationship where I'm committing to not just knowing everything about you and receiving all the flaws and negatives and positives, but then actually being vulnerable enough to share then all those things mm-hmm. too. And there's aspects of a marriage that are really helpful and good for that, or that are supposed to be a part of that.
That's good.
I could keep going. I got a 30-minute talk.
We don't want the 30-minute talk.
That
we
was
don't.
Some of give the us, kind of points.
Give us the bullet points. No, that's good, though. I mean, but that's it, right? Yeah. It's not, marriage is this,
yeah.
right? It is a God-instituted yeah. relationship that is super multifaceted. Yeah. And as you lean into it, marriage will be different things in different seasons, right? Yes. Marriage has been support for me. Marriage has been sacrifice for me. Marriage has been like, it's been a struggle for me. Marriage, like, it's every, like, what's the purpose? It is helping me do and be what God has yeah. called me to be.
Yep. Yep. And then in the marriage context, there's a covenant made, which is what, this is what was helpful for me. It's like, what am I actually covenanting to and committing to? So it's like, there's aspects of in marriage, you're committing to mutual submission to one another, which we find in Ephesians, and to sacrificial love, mutual, like, sacrifice in love. And so some of the engagement process is really cool. It's, here's where I kind of push back against culture. It's in engagement. It's okay. If I'm preparing, we've taken this to, well, then in preparation, we need to see if we're compatible sexually. In preparation, we need to see, like, can we actually live together? No. In preparation, what you can do in the midst of, like, the engagement process is, how do I learn to love sacrificially? So it also doesn't matter. Like, there's things that matter, but also, like, if I can learn to love sacrificially, at least intellectually, conceptually, kind of do it practically. In marriage, like, you do it practically. You literally are learning and figuring it out. So, like, I'm learning to love sacrificially, and then I'm learning to live in mutual submission mm-hmm. to one another, of what it looks like to really care about each other's needs, to outdo one another in honor mm-hmm. and in service and in love. And like, it happens in a marriage relationship.
You didn't mean to do it, but you pushed one of my pet peeve buttons in just bringing up cohabitation as an
yeah.
Because culture has woven this idea yes. that you must it's live necessary. With your person because it makes sense to see if you're compatible. And when you logically look at that, it makes no sense at all.
And stats back it up.
Like, there are secular yeah. surveys out there showing how cohabitation pre-marriage actually hurt marriage rates. Mm-hmm. There's a greater divorce rate if you cohabitate. Yeah. And such. But even just think about it logically. Like, if you're preparing for marriage and you say, I must live with this person, what about living with this person is actually preparing you for marriage? You're like, well, I got to see if they're clean. If you don't know if they're a clean person before you move in with yeah. them, you haven't dated well.
Yeah, it's so good.
Right? Like, you can show up into someone's room without living in that room to know if they keep their dirty socks on the floor or not. Right? Do they do their dishes? Show up to their roommate's place. If the sink is full of dishes, you don't need to move in together. Like, if you've dated even semi with awareness, you don't need a process of cohabitation where it's like, well, I want to know if I like coming home to them at the end of every day.
Yeah.
If that's a question you're still asking, you should break up. Honestly, like, if you aren't a good enough friend with this person yeah. to know if you want to come home to them at the end of every day, man, you are nowhere near ready to be married. Yeah. And signing a lease together is not, And then there's this practical side of it where it's like, we're saving money. And it's like, but at what cost? Yeah. Right? Good. You can save financial dollars, but if it's going to hurt you in your marriage later, then you're signing a bad deal.
That's good. Can I go back to a question on how do you know if you're ready to be married?
Yeah, I went back to the question.
So I actually think, and what I do, and what I think people need to do in the engagement process, but also maybe even before, if you really are serious about getting into a committed relationship, wanting to evaluate to see for marriage, like read the vows. Mm-hmm. Are you, like, when you, because we move through them so fast on the wedding day, but if you read the vows and you can say, yep, I am actually willing to step into that hardship and want to do that with this person, mm-hmm. I think you're ready to be married. Will you do it perfectly? Heck no.
No.
Have I failed yesterday? Yes.
Yeah.
This past week has been tough in my marriage relationship.
Dude, still just call me out. Like this morning, it was for sickness, you know, marriage is for sickness and health, right? And so I'm out shoveling the snow and my wife is not feeling the best. And so she comes out to help me shovel snow and she started scooping snow and it ruined my pattern of scooping snow. You know, I got a system here, right? It's heavy. I'm working hard. I'm sweating under this winter coat. I'm out here breaking my back for this family. And she comes out and she puts a line of snow. She shovels right down the middle of what, I about lost it. But right, like in sickness and in health, that's just a tiny little glimpse. Am I going to be patient enough to love my wife when she doesn't feel good and she's trying to help me? So that's just the story. I felt the Spirit saying, Brian, confess.
One of my favorite, like the first vow you ask when in the questions that I do, it's do you promise to cherish her and honor her?
Mm.
And you honored her and how she was shoveling.
I didn't, though.
Okay, you failed. So
she went to go do something else, and I was like, just go back inside.
Yeah, you better ask.
And then she was like, and I said, just listen to me, please go back inside. And she wanted to help. And I was like, no, stop.
That's amazing to me. Yeah. So, anyway.
So maybe I'm not ready to be married.
You're ready.
Maybe I'll go home and I'll be like,
that's tough.
I texted her though. I said, hey, I'm sorry. You were just trying to help.
There you go.
So I'm quick to forgive.
Yeah.
Cause here's one of the things that I feel like has been, we're transitioning even to maybe a marriage advice, but one of the things that has helped me so much in my marriage is I have this competitive drive. It's just deep, deep in me. And, I don't remember if it was a pastor or who it was, but they saw that once and they've always pushed me to cultivate that competition side of me for the kingdom, right? What does it look like to compete in a way that glorifies God? And when it comes to my marriage, one of the things that I heard was be the first to forgive and mean it. And like, that's a sense of like competition. I want to be the best husband, right? I want to love my wife better than she can love me. And I do, and like that helps push us to love each other. And so like when I do something wrong, I consistently try to forget, to ask for forgiveness, to apologize and mean it. Mm-hmm. I'm not just checking a box, right? I have to have my heart aware, but can I apologize and mean it as fast as possible? And that's like, it's helped me so many times.
Ruth Bell Graham.
Where I'm just sitting there in my own bitterness, being dumb and just thinking, man, I want to be a quick forgiver.
That's good. I mean, Ruth Bell Graham, wife of Billy Graham, said the best marriages are made of two of the best forgivers. Mm. It's just like, that's real.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We're kind of closing in on time here, but maybe just to close this out today, what piece of advice would you give to people who are engaged or who are newly married as we close out?
There's too many.
I'll just pick one.
I don't like it. Don't compare yourself to other couples. One of 17 pieces of advice I can give right now that just for some reason popped off my head. Yes. recognize that a lot of your frustration toward one another is most likely because of unspoken or unmet expectation. So learn to have healthy communication.
Yeah. That's great. I'll steal Ben's. I'll give him a third, but it'll come from me. He told me, and it's been the best piece of marriage advice I've ever got, is just remember the covenant.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's so simple, right? What is that? Three words. Yeah, three words. Remember the covenant, right? Like, and what that means is when you understand that God has called you to this, when you understand you have committed your life in a promise to the other person till death do you part, that changes the way you do marriage today.
Yeah.
Because divorce isn't an option.
Yeah.
And if you're unhappy, what does it look like for you to get happy?
Yes.
If you're not healthy in your relationship, what does it look like for you to pursue health?
Yep.
There's nowhere for you to go. If you remember the covenant, if you come back to like, man, this is what God is, he's going to equip you for it, but it also will spur you on to do the things you need to do to have a happy relationship. And so if you're engaged and you're saying, okay, what are the things that I need to do to remember the covenant? Or like when you're married and like the things come up and conflict happens and you feel upset, or remember, this is what God's called you to. Yeah.
And this is what you've promised.
This is what you've promised to do. Come back to that and say, okay, well, in this situation, how do I fulfill that? Mm-hmm. How do I glorify God?
And you didn't
that?
Just promise your spouse, you promised God.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of a Christian marriage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still bend ceremony, and then I've tweaked it a lot over the years, but the whole first, like, our ceremony is probably 20 to 30 minutes, depending on what the couple's added.
Truth.
But in 20 to 30 minutes,
which is even a lot from Dave and Aaron too.
Yeah. The whole. I will tell you 60% of it has very little to do with you two together. Mm-hmm. The whole first 2/3 of it are essentially having you two make a commitment before God.
Yep.
And then once that's been made, then we'll have you turn and face each other and you can begin to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. But until that, together you make a commitment before God, I mean, that's the whole first and most part of what we're doing there. Massive. So there's like 12 pieces of advice, I guess. Emily, do you have any?
As someone who's not married but has seen other people get married and heard some things in school.
You have a great perspective.
I think one of the things I've seen from the outside is one, like keeping Christ at the center. And so like you're running your race together. And
We should have said that. That's good. Good check. Covenant. Yeah, love Jesus. Good. Okay, back to you, Emily.
Yeah, but like you should never feel like you have to drag your spouse along because they're going to end up just dragging you or keeping you from running as fast as you could be. And then the second thing is just always inviting people in to see your marriage and just having community there, not being isolated to yourself, but just having friends, having family, and not only just experiencing the image of what God created, but extending that image too.
As John Mark Comer says, and I'm sure he stole it from somewhere, Jesus, the way he lived out his method for his mission was he came eating and drinking. He shared the table. And so in marriage, just like you're talking about, what's it look like to open up your home, share the table with people, invite people in?
Get around the table.
Yeah, it's great, man. It could be that simple. To have a marriage on mission is just to share tacos with people once a week.
Tacos.
That'd be great. I love tacos. There's just something about Mexican food, man.
It is good.
All right.
Well, have some tacos and we'll
have some tacos. That's a
we catch need, you next
can
week.
Can we end our every podcast with that now?
Yeah, please. I like that.
Please. Comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Taco Tuesday.
We're ending our podcast like that. Oh, that's
Oasis
my favorite.
Tacos. Talk about Oasis.
You're just making it worse.
I'm trying to think. We'll figure it out. We'll get back to you with that.
Go have some tacos.
Bye.